This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 102, Layering Your Photographs with Interesting Elements. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 102nd Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to talk about layering in photography, and we're going to talk about layering in the way of layering the elements in a scene to make the scene more interesting. And we're going to talk about that with regard to shooting, and we're going to talk about it with regard to post-processing. But as always, before we get into it, I'd like to thank people for their comments on our last podcast, number 101, where we talked about intentional camera movement, where we had the interview with Michael Orton. A lot of people really seem to get jazzed by that podcast, and one of my faves thus far, I must admit. I'd like to thank Scorpio, Melissa Dorner, Josh G, Matthias, Avital Pinnick, and Henry B. for the comments that they left on the podcast. Thanks so much. As always, leaving the comments directly in the blog, photography.ca/blog is our preferred way to get them. But if you also want to leave other comments, you can do it through the forum on photography.ca, or you could just send me an email, photography.ca@gmail.com. All right, then, well, let's just get right into today's podcast, layering in photography. And layering, it's such an important concept, and yet, you know, it's often overlooked. We talked a little bit about this in podcast number 73, where we talked about improving boring landscapes. But at the end of the day, for the most part, photography is a 2D medium. Even though the real world is in 3D, at the end of the day, we take a picture, and that picture is in two dimensions. But even though the image is in 2D on a flat plane, the way we take the picture and the way we arrange the elements in the picture can give us the perceived feeling of depth, and that is going to make our photography much more interesting. And I use this example pretty often, you know. When you're taking a landscape picture and you see a beautiful mountain, that mountain is not going anywhere, and that mountain is normally in the background of your scene. There is still the foreground and the midground to contend with, and both of those planes on your image are super crucial. If all you're going to take is the background, you're really getting sort of a one-dimensional picture. You want to be very conscious about what is in the foreground and what is in the midground as well. Now, you're obviously going to want to do this at the time of capture, so you're going to want to look around before you take that picture of the mountain. You're going to want to look around for what's in front of the mountain. And let's say you are looking for elements that are going to tie the foreground in with the background. You know, a common one might just be a pathway. So you compose your image such that part of the pathway is in your image and that line is leading toward the mountain. Well, that path line toward the mountain is going to make that image, in my opinion, far more interesting than if it were just of the mountain where you didn't include any of the foreground. For me, the element of the path in the photo adds another layer to the photo, right? Because it's kind of a layer shooting toward you from the background to the foreground. You're not just taking the mountain now. Now you have something in front of the mountain, and that might be in the midground. And now you can have something in the foreground that's also another layer. See what I'm getting at? The more layers there are, often the more interest there is. Now, you don't want to overdo it. You want to concentrate on a few elements, but a couple of these layers are going to make the shot much more interesting. So I guess at the end of the day, the purpose of this podcast is to get you to search for those elements that help you layer an image. So what elements should you look for to tie in the foreground, the background, and the midground? Compositionally, you're going to want to tie in good elements that strengthen the image as a whole before you even click the shutter. So, you know, patterns, shapes, lines, colors, lighting patterns, these can all be used as layers to the final image. And when possible, these layers or elements, they're going to try and hook you into the scene in a very deliberate way. You know, I've talked about this before, but diagonal lines and curves, these are all very interesting elements in photography. So you're going to want to be on the lookout for them. All too often, we're only looking at the final element, a mountain, a person, a something. But there's so much more to the image than the mountain, the person, the something. There are the little sub-elements that can tie into the greater image as a whole. And I'm just going to use one of my shots as an example. I took a shot a little while ago of the Athabasca River reflecting pools in Banff. And this is like quite a lovely scene. We got up really early in the morning, and there's gorgeous mountains in the background. It's sunrise, and you got all this alpenglow on the mountain. but I really didn't concentrate too much on the mountain. The mountain, in fact, takes up less than one third of the image. So I have snow at the beginning and it's all on ice, and I have two rocks in the midground, and I have part of the mountain reflecting in the background. All these elements are adding layers to the image, and in my opinion, it's going to make the image much, much stronger than if we just shoot the mountain. So you can just check out this image, and it's sort of a clear example of what you may want to look for compositionally before you actually take the shot. And of course, this is not only reserved to landscapes, it's reserved for everything. You know, in the same way you're going to do this with a landscape, you can do this with most genres. You know, in portraiture, you could add props as a layer. So a veil is a layer. It's something in front of a face that adds interest. So it's more interesting than the face alone. It's a veiled face. It gives character. It adds an element. Smoke can be a layer. Anything that adds depth to your image can be used as a layer. Portrait of a man holding an apple and he's just about to bite that apple, chances are that's going to be more interesting than a shot of just his face, where his hand may not have been in there, where his hand may not have been holding the apple, where he might not have been engaged in a behavior. Again, you're going to want to try and deliberately look for things in the foreground, midground, and background that make the image more whole, that tie the planes of the image together. That really makes images rock harder, more often than not. Now, a good way to help control this is by being aware of the aperture that you're using. The smaller the aperture, larger number, the more in sharp everything is going to be from foreground to background. Sometimes you want that, sometimes you don't. In my mountain shot, I used a very small aperture, so I had pretty good sharpness from foreground to background. But you could choose a large aperture and sort of have things that are out of focus in the background, but yet you could still see what they are, and they relate to the foreground and midground, and that's going to make your image stronger overall. But you have to be looking for these things before you click the shutter. You have to be spending most of your time looking at the composition, and you'll do your small refinements afterward, but you're going to do most of the work before you click the shutter. You know, using aperture is a great way to guide the viewer's eye. Again, it's this layer. You know, whatever the sharpest element in a scene is, your eye is going to go there. Whatever the brightest element of a scene is, your eye is going to go there. So knowing these things in advance, you can help strengthen the image by preparing it ahead of time. And how do you prepare ahead of time? You seriously look at your composition. You seriously look all around the frame, both for distracting elements, for brightness elements, to make sure the lines flow. Spend some time with your compositions before you click the shutter and be aware of the things in the planes of your image before you click the shutter. Back to aperture for a sec. Castle 403 from our photography forum, she took a really cool shot that I'd like to talk about for a second. So she took a shot and she called it Sometimes You Feel Like a Nut. And basically it's a shot of a little medallion and it says the word nut on it, and it's all rusty and it looms large in the foreground. It's going to go in the show notes so you can check it out. I would say the nut medallion takes up about 3/4 of the image, and it's really in the foreground, and the background is quite blurry. Now, this nut medallion is positioned between two diagonal lines, and those diagonal lines are adding to the image. But what's super cool is that in the background of the image, you know, it's using a very large aperture, maybe f4 or something like this, but in the background, you can see a tire, and the tire mimics the shape of the medallion in the foreground. So this is a repeating pattern. You can't even see the repeating pattern so well because of the blurred aspect, but because it is a repeating pattern, it adds interest to the photo. And thought went into this shot before it was taken, and that's why this shot works. And this is the type of thinking that is going to go into a more advanced composition. You're not shooting willy-nilly. You are lining up the elements in your scene. You are checking to make sure the elements work with each other, and your photos are going to be a million times stronger once you do that. And finally, in post-processing, there are little tricks of the trade that you can use that, again, are going to make this layering effect stand out more. And a lot of this has to do with making individual elements either brighter or darker in post-processing. Again, we've talked about this before, but the eye tends to rest on the brighter elements of the scene. So controlling those elements when you first take the scene, that's important. But let's say you miss something and there's a leaf on a tree that's a little bit too bright. Well, maybe by darkening in that leaf, by burning it in, you take attention away from it and the other elements in the scene work more harmoniously. Using the same principle, let's say you wanted to highlight that leaf. Well, you might use sharpening to add interest to that leaf, to make it more prominent, to make it more part of the scene, to make it one of the focal points of the scene. And sharpening and selective sharpening is a great way to do this. And you can do sharpening just with sharpening tool in Photoshop or other graphics programs. But if you have the ability to use a layer mask, I mean, this is a great, great, great tool. A layer mask allows you to choose what part of your scene gets the effect you want. So let's say you only want part of a scene sharp. You could add a layer mask to it so you sharpen the whole scene. And then you can go back and remove the parts that you want a little less sharp. And you could do it using the opacity slider, so you could dial in how much sharpness you want. Just this dialing in of sharpness and playing with what elements of the scene are sharper than other elements is a great way to highlight the different planes in your image. Now, you need to know that sharpening can only be done so much. There's a limit to how much sharpening you can do on any element before it starts to look really terrible. But again, it's just to illustrate the point that you can use sharpening to add additional layers to your image for improved effect. And I think that's going to do it for me for this podcast. Assignments on the forum this month. A regular assignment on the forum this month is take a scene inspired by a song title or book title. And we have some cool assignments thus far. And our level 2 assignment is practicing intentional camera movement that we discussed in podcast number 101 when we did that interview with Michael Orton, and some very cool submissions thus far. If you'd like to subscribe to this podcast, as always, it's really easy to do via the links at the front page of the blog with Google Reader or iTunes. Just go to the front page of the blog, photography.ca/blog, and just click those subscribe buttons. Thanks as always for listening, everyone. Much appreciated. The comments are always appreciated, and support and encouragement is always appreciated. So as always, just get out there and keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone. Thanks so much for listening.